Press on. Glory. Maranatha, come, the Lord Jesus, come. Can we sing some more hymns, Pastor? Another 5 hymns at least. There's still lots of Welsh ones in the hymn book we haven't touched tonight. Well, it was a blessing, wasn't it? Absolutely. And just the orchestra, just the number of extra instruments there, and the depth of volume. All to the glory of God. Amen. The 1,000-year golden age is what we're looking at tonight. And I said to Pastor, it is the millennium. He told me how much time I've got. Thank you very much. I mean, we don't have to finish at 9, do we? Revelation chapter 20 and verse 6, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. 1,000 years. Let's just start a word of prayer, shall we? Dear Lord, our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that you are so good to us. Lord, we thank you for your mercy and for your grace and for your unconditional love, which we do not deserve. And Father, we thank you, Lord, that you've enabled this to take place in these last 2 days. And again, we look forward with expectancy for tomorrow as we meet on the Lord's Day. And Father, for your blessing, we, Lord, have experienced your blessing thus far. Lord, yesterday and today, and Lord, it's just been a blessing to gather with the saints, to sing godly music. Lord, to feed on your precious word. And Father, we ask, Lord, by the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord, that you might do a work in each and every heart tonight. Lord, as your word is preached. Father, be with us, the preachers, myself also, Father, you give me guidance and direction, Lord, sensitivity to the leading of your Holy Spirit. Lord, that all be said and done, Lord, in this pulpit this night will be to the glory of thy name and for the edification of the saints. Help us, we pray, for we ask it into the name of your precious Son, for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let me just draw your attention to what we've looked at already, but just to remind you, in fact, of where we are, the millennium, and of course that 1,000-year reign, and what a time that will be, in the very presence of our Lord and Savior. And also, of course, the very fact we can't lose sight of where we are, there's the church age, and of course, those 7 churches. And in the last 2 messages, I brought something from Laodicea, but I want to bring you something from the Philadelphian church, which really is the jewel in the crown of those letters to the 7 churches. And what has always been an inspiration and an encouragement to myself is verse 10, the Lord says, because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. What a wonderful statement the Lord gives there to this Philadelphian church, a church of little strength, but they have kept the word. And Father, that we know, Lord, that you want us to be faithful. And that's all, just be faithful. Just to stand fast, contend for the faith once you live it unto the saints. And he will provide accordingly. I want to draw your attention first of all tonight to an outline of the book of the Revelation. Because there's a very key verse there in verse 19. And if a lot of people say, oh, we don't understand the book of the Revelation. Well, God doesn't leave us, you know, without sort of an idea or a hint of what the book of the Revelation, how it's laid out. And it's there in verse 19, because John is asked to write the things which thou hast seen. The things which thou hast seen. Chapter 1. And he then says, and the things which are. The church age. Present tense. When John wrote it, it was at the very beginning of the apostolic age. The church age. We are still in the church age. And then the latter part of the verse then, and the things which shall be hereafter. They're the three keys, if you want, to understanding the book of the Revelation. Chapter 1, John on Patmos. Chapters 2 and 3, Church on Earth. Chapters 4 and 5, Church in Heaven. Chapters 6 to 18, Tribulation on Earth. Chapter 19, Christ's return to Earth. And chapter 20, which we're going to look at tonight, Christ's reign on Earth. And chapters 21, 22, New Heavens and New Earth. But also remember, there's a number of beatitudes in the book of the Revelation. We see the very first one in verse 3 of chapter 1. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. It is presently at hand. The Lord could come at any moment. Even tonight. Didn't you hear one amen? Even tonight. Some of you aren't sure. Remember, the Lord was asked by the disciples to teach them to pray. And in Matthew 6 and verse 9 to 15, and in particularly verse 10, he said, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." And in that one verse statement there, we have really what he was referring to is the millennium, his reign on earth. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Let's look at this passage in Revelation. Six times the 1,000 years are mentioned. Indeed, repetition, as I've said, is the key to learning. The key to learning is repetition. And that's why sometimes you've already seen a couple of slides again on each of the presentation. So you start to think about it. Many of you wouldn't have seen that dispensation slide before, because God is a God of order. And yes, that picture of the seven churches on that postal route, starting from Ephesus, finishing at Laodicea. But here we read in Revelation chapter 20 and verse 2, "And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years should be fulfilled, and after that he must be loosed for a little season. And I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads, or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years were finished." This is the first resurrection. Verse 6, "Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him for 1,000 years. And in verse 7 we read, "And when 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison." 1,000 years. How many years? 1,000. You know, the Lord only had to say it once. But he said it 6 times. Get it the first time? Not so sure? There's a second time. There's a third time. 6 times, either you've got it or you haven't. It's 1,000 years. You know, we see that principle right through the Word of God, do we not? That repetition, in other words, here it is, this is what I'm stating, here's the principle. Maybe you need to hear it again. And maybe again. So that it gets lodged in that vacant allotment. And comes down to the heart. Because unless it gets from there to there, you're not listening. I want to draw your attention to this chart, which is really the position which we all hold, the premillennial, pre-tribulational rapture of the church. And the very fact, of course, Israel is Israel, interpreted literally. And of course then, because of the rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ, we find then the church comes into being, commencing at Pentecost. And of course it's part of the Jews, part of the Gentiles. When it started initially, it was predominantly Jews. Today it's predominantly Gentiles. Israel temporarily replaced by the church. They are in spiritual blindness, as I drew your attention to this morning in Romans chapter 11, verse 25. And then, of course, we have the rapture of the saints. And then, of course, that's that 7 years of tribulation, the time of Jacob's trouble, in which the Lord will deal with Israel. And, of course, then the church returns to the Lord Jesus Christ. So here we have the Christ coming for the church, and here we're coming with the church. And then, of course, the tribulation saints race, etc. We find then that 1,000-year reign. This is what we're looking for. And at the end there, although not indicated on here, we have the white throne judgment, and then the new heaven and new earth. That's what we believe. That's what the Word of God teaches. But we also see, of course, there is another school of belief which is very predominant and causes much confusion. Amillennialism. The amillennialism view believes that there will be only one judgment of mankind at the second coming. As far as the millennium is concerned, the amillennialist believes that there is no literal 1,000-year rule of Jesus from Jerusalem. The millennium is the present, the spiritual reign of Jesus with his people. That's what they believe. What does that do with it? That takes away the identity of Israel. Yet Israel, as I drew your attention to, is uniquely special unto God. Thou art a holy people, we read in Deuteronomy. And the Lord thy God hath chosen to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth. No rapture. No tribulation. No conversion of Israel in the millennium. And so we see that the interpretation of the scriptures was changed to accommodate the union of both church and state. Origen, the theologian of the Alexandrian school, openly attacked chiliasm, or the doctrine of the thousand-year reign on planet Earth for Christ, and introduced the allegorical method of interpretation by which he interprets spiritually and not literally the passage of scripture which announced the millennium. A disciple of Origen by the name of Dionysius of Alexandria continued Origen's teaching and prepared the ground for the rejection of the book of the Revelation in AD 360 by the Council of Laodicea. This was compounded by Augustine with the publishing of his book, The City of God. Basically, the position denies that the Antichrist will be an individual and asserts the man of sin is really the papacy system. There's much more I could draw your attention to. But that teaching is across the land. Denominations, which again, from a biblical point of view, are not biblical, but once were independent, once were sound, but today now are saturated by this doctrine. And many of God's people are being seduced with erroneous teaching. And so we need to be able to give an answer to those that other saints that are being led astray, that are wondering what on earth is happening in their church. We need to draw their attention to what the Word of God says concerning the millennium, the rule and the reign of the Lord Jesus Christ on planet Earth. There is a millennium. It's 1,000 years, and Christ will rule and reign in that time, and God's people, every born-again, blood-bought child of God, will be in the millennium with the saved remnant of Israel. Just like the other dispensations, where there is responsibility There is failure and there is judgment. We see the same thing here because we see, of course, that the requirement is to obey and worship. In Zechariah chapter 40 and verse 9, we read, "And the Lord shall be king over all the earth, and that day there shall be one Lord, and his name one." But of course we know, as we've already read there in Revelation 20, verses 10 to 9, verse 7 I'll read, "And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. And there will be a large number of people that will be drawn, that will be rebellious to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords at the end of the millennium." So there will be rebellion. But then occurs that judgment then of the lake of fire, which we read in Revelation 20, verses 11 to 15. And verse 14 says, "And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death." So yes, it is a glorious time. But there is a requirement to obey and worship. There will be rebellion, and there will be judgment. "Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection, on such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. The first resurrection, the resurrection of all of the saved. And I drew your attention, I think, in my first message to this chart here with regards to those that would come under the first resurrection. Of course, the Lord Jesus Christ is the first fruits. And then, of course, we see the rapture of the church, the Old Testament saints, the rapture of the church there, the tribulation martyrs. The millennium martyrs will be raised again, and living Old Testament saints become church saints, living tribulation saints become millennial saints. And so all those will be in the millennium. John said in John 5, 28 and 29, "Marvel not at this," in fact it is the Lord Jesus Christ's words, "for the hour is coming in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice. And shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation." The very fact of Christ's resurrection, it guaranteed the resurrection of every man, woman, and child on planet earth. And your neighbors, or those met that you might witness to, might say, "Oh no, I don't believe all that." The very fact that Christ's resurrection affects them. Some to eternal life, some to eternal damnation. So who will be in the millennium? Let's look at the word here. In the Old Testament saints, which I've already drawn your attention to, we read there in Matthew 27 and 52 and 53, "And the graves are open, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection." Notice that. "And went into the holy city and appeared unto many." Only after his resurrection were the Old Testament saints resurrected. Revelation 5, 9 and 5, 10, "The wife of the Lamb. And they sang a new song, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. And hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on earth." And then there's the tribulation martyrs. We read of there in Revelation 14, 1 to 4 and 20, 4 and 6. And again in verse 4 we read, "And I saw thrones, they sat upon them, and the judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. And then of course we get the saved who survived the tribulation. Both Jew and Gentile, "Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." In Matthew 25 and verse 34 there. But we also see here the word of God draws our attention to the manifestation of the Lord Jesus Christ as a righteous branch in Jeremiah 23 and 5 to 6. As amongst men in Jerusalem in Ezekiel 43 and verse 7. The son of Abraham, Genesis 17, 8. The son of David in Isaiah 9, 7. The son of man in John 5, 27. As the king of righteousness in Isaiah 32 and verse 1. "Behold, a king shall reign in righteousness, and princes shall rule in judgment. The King of Peace, Isaiah 2:4, the King of Israel, in John 12:13, as the King of Kings, Revelation 19:6, as the King of all the earth in Zechariah chapter 14 and verse 9. And the Lord shall be King over all the earth, and that day there shall be one Lord, and His name one. Point number 11 there, as the Mighty God, Isaiah 9:6, as the Supreme Teacher, in Isaiah 2:3, in our 12th point there. The manifestation of Christ in all the earth. The temple will be rebuilt. The fourth temple. The first temple built by Solomon was filled with the glory of God. The second temple was not. The third temple, which has been planned and been prepared now, the tribulation temple, will not be filled with the glory of the Lord. But the fourth temple, millennial temple, will be filled. Indeed, Ezekiel chapters 40 to 44 deal with the temple, which is, as we see in verse 5 of Ezekiel 43, will be filled with the glory of the Lord. In verse 7 of Ezekiel 43, we read, "And he said unto me, Son of man, the place of my throne, and the place of the soles of my feet, where I will dwell in the midst of the children of Israel forever." In chapters 40 to 42, describe in detail the construction of the temple the children of Israel will have in Jerusalem during the millennial reign of Christ on earth. The description is so complete that a competent architect could draw a plan of the building from the instructions given in these chapters. The temple would be greater than the temple of Solomon. We see that in Haggai in chapter 2 and verse 9, where it says that the glory of this latter house shall be greater than of the former, say the Lord of hosts. And in this place will I give peace, say the Lord of hosts. It will be the place from which our Lord will reign upon the earth. We see here that there will be feasts. In Ezekiel 24-25, the Passover and the tabernacle sacrifices, Ezekiel 13 and verse 13, where it starts to talk about the altar, the actual sacrifices we see in verse 19 of Ezekiel 43. But again, from 19 through to 46, 24, are all about the sacrifice that will take place in the millennial time. Evangelism. Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 3, "And many people shall go and say, Come ye, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem." In Malachi chapter 3 and verse 3, we read this, "And he shall sit as a refiner and a refiner of silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi, and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness." Verse 4, "Then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Lord as in the days of old and as in former years." And so we have the Old Testament sacrifice there pointing to what is to take place. The crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. The blood sacrifice. But now there's been a position in the millennium. The saved remnant having the opportunity now to remember why they are there, as those sacrifices are given, are made for the Lord Jesus Christ, remembering the very fact that he paid the penalty for their sin, over the sins of the whole world. Indeed, the manifestation of Christ in all the earth in government. Now, we touched on government in my first session, but again, as we look at these scriptures here in Daniel chapter 7 and verses 13 and 14, we read, "And I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him, and there was given him dominion and glory, and a kingdom, that all people and nations and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, in his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed. Not be destroyed. Isaiah 24 and verse 23 tells, and the moon shall be confounded, and the sun ashamed, when the Lord of hosts shall reign in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem and before his ancients gloriously. In Luke chapter 1 and verses 32 and 33, we read that he shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. You can see the repetition, the enforcement of the very fact of the position, the theocratic position of our Lord Jesus Christ in the millennium kingdom. Indeed, he will be an everlasting light, as Isaiah tells in Isaiah 16 verse 12. The sun shall be no more thy light by day, neither for brightness shall the moon give light unto thee, but the Lord shall be unto thee an everlasting light, and thy glory. What a day that will be. Thy God, thy glory. Jerusalem will be rebuilt. In Jeremiah chapter 13 verse 18, we read, and the city shall be builded upon her own heap, and the palace shall remain after the manner thereof. Zechariah 14 verses 10 and 11, and the land shall be turned as a plain from Geba to Rimmon, south of Jerusalem, and it shall be lifted up and inhabited in her place, and from Benjamin's gate unto the place of the first gate, unto the corner gate, and from the tower of Hananel unto the king's wine presses, and men shall dwell in it, and there shall be no more utter destruction, but Jerusalem shall be safely inhabited. The glory of the nation of Israel, as I drew your attention to this morning, is hard to comprehend, but she'll be exalted among the nations. Notice what again we read in Ezekiel 37:22, and I will make them one nation in the land upon the mountains of Israel. One king shall be king to them all, and they shall be no more two nations, neither shall they be divided into two kingdoms any more at all. Jeremiah 13 verse 3, for lo, the days come, saith the Lord, and I will bring again the captivity of my people Israel and Judah, saith the Lord, and I will cause them to return to the land that I gave to their fathers, and they shall possess it. And then in Jeremiah 32 and verse 41, yea, I'll rejoice for them to do them good, and I will plant them in this land assuredly with my whole heart and with my whole soul. Indeed, the land is mentioned 10 times in Jeremiah. God gave it to Israel for an everlasting possession. No one else has the title for it. No one. Because God gave it to Israel. They are his people. The apple of his eye. I drew your attention to this morning, so I'll go over this very quickly for the sake of time. Again, we see the Israel in the millennium, recipients of the new covenant, God's peace, priests of the Lord, ministers of our God, missionaries, global authority sustained by the world's wealth. Again, remember that Israel is uniquely special to God. Israel is the apple of God's eye. Israel is God's peculiar treasure. Israel is God's elect. Israel is God's glory. And yet the world wants to wipe Israel out. But in the millennium, they will have the authority. The nations, the Gentile nations, will be running to them and asking knowledge about their God. God calls them my servant, mine elect, mine elect. I've even called thee by thy name. I have surnamed thee, though thou hast not known me. Today, Israel do not know the living God. Praise the Lord for our brothers in Christ, like Brother Andrew Lewis, that are there persistently sharing the gospel. But as a nation, we would say spiritually they're a wipeout. But God's not finished with them.
Amen.
And it's a good job that he hasn't. Because he is working out his purpose and plan for the nation of Israel. As Brother Ryan shared, the very fact that God's plan for the church is not the plan for Israel, and the plan for Israel is not the plan for the church. Please remember that. The authority for the apostles, again in Luke 22, verse 28 and 30, we read, "Ye are which have continued with me in my temptations," the Lord says, "and I appointed you a kingdom as my Father hath appointed unto me, that he may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel." Again in Matthew 19, verse 28, "And Jesus said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit on the throne of his glory, ye shall also sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel." Indeed, Isaiah says in 32:1, "Behold, a king shall reign in righteousness, and the princes shall rule in judgment." Authority for the apostles. There'll be environmental changes. And here in Joel chapter 3 and verse 18, we read, "And it shall come to pass in that day, the mountains shall drop down new wine, and the hills shall flow with milk, and all the rivers of Judah will flow with waters, and a fountain shall come forth out of the house of the Lord, and shall water the valley of Shittim." You can see Shittim there on the map, I think, just on the right-hand side, that valley of Shittim there on that side of the Jordan. And Amos 9 says in verse 13, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that the plowman shall overtake the reaper, and the treader of grapes him that soweth seed, and the mountain shall drop sweet wine, and all the hills shall melt." Zechariah 13 and verse 8, "And it shall be in that day that living water shall go out from Jerusalem, half them toward the former sea, and half them toward the hinder sea, in summer and in winter shall it be." "The wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad of them." We read this in Isaiah 35 and verse 1. "And the desert shall rejoice and blossom as a rose." It shall blossom abundantly, in 35 and verse 2 says, "And rejoice even with joy and sing, and the glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it, the excellency of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God." We just go back to that one. This one's for fishermen. Because we see here that in Ezekiel 47 and verse 9, it reads, "And it shall come to pass that everything that liveth, which moveth whithersoever the river shall come, shall live, and there shall be a very great multitude of fish. Because these waters shall come thither, for they shall be healed, and everything shall live whither the river cometh." 47 verse 10 says, "And it shall come to pass that the fishes shall stand upon it from En-Gedi, even to Englim, that they shall be a place to spread forth nets. Their fish shall be according to their kinds, as the fish of the great sea, exceeding many." Today you can't fish in the salt sea. You can float, all right. Lots of people put mud all over their bodies and then float on it. You can't even drink it. But there'll come a day in the millennium, then you fishermen of all different types, deep sea, fresh water, can cast your net, your rods in, and catch fish of all different types. What a day that will be. Pastor, you don't need to go to a trip for Israel. Wait for the millennium, okay? You'll be able to catch any fish you want. What a place to go. Anna and I have the privilege of being there. Please pray for Pastor as he's considering, and somebody else might be going as well. But it is a wonderful experience. Is that you, Pastor? Pastor number Pastor 2 is going as well. Okay, that's a blessing. And I'm sure Brother Claire will take more as well. Tremendous time. Now, Isaiah 11, of course, I'm sure you're familiar with these verses here. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. And the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf with the young lion, and the fatling together, and the little child shall lead them. And the cow and the bear shall feed, their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. And the sucking a child shall play in the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice's den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Think about that. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord. You can go, you'll be able to go anywhere and talk to people about the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't do that today. What a day that will be indeed, eh? Romans 8:21 says, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption, the glorious liberty of the children of God, for we know that the whole creature groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. Hope the whole creation is groaning as well for renewal for the Messiah. Isaiah 65 verse 20, there shall be no more thence an infant of days, nor an old man that hath not filled his days, for the child shall die 100 years old, but the sinner being 100 years shall be accursed. Zechariah 8 and verse 4, thus saith the Lord of hosts, there shall yet old men and old women dwell in the streets of Jerusalem, and every man with his staff in his hand for very age. Longevity of life. Millennial healing in Isaiah 29 and verse 18, in that day shall the deaf hear the words of the book, and the eyes of the blind shall see out of obscurity and out of darkness. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and he shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. Isaiah 35 verses 5 to 6, and the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. My dear wife thinks I'm deaf at times because I don't respond to her instructions. She said, I'm sure you need a hearing aid. Then shall the lame man leap as an hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing, for in the wilderness shall waters break out and streams in the desert. It's hard to imagine, isn't it? But as we read the Word of God and we picture, if you've got a mind that is able to picture, certainly brothers like Kyle here, who's an artist, can picture. And if you're artistic in any way, then it's a lot easier to imagine what you're going to see in the millennium. But the Word of God is very clear, is it not? It's very clear. And yes, there'll be universal peace. Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 4 says, and he shall judge among the nations, and shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nations, shall they learn war any more. What a wonderful time that will be. This is just an overview. For the earth shall be full on the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover of the sea. But let me just draw you back in closing. As I mentioned earlier, as with every dispensation, God gives mankind responsibilities. Subsequently, there's failure and then judgment, and in itself is another subject, the very fact of the lake of fire. And whosoever is not written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And the devil that deceived them was cast in the lake of fire and brimstone, and when the beast and the false prophet are and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever, and death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Revelation 21 and verse 8 says, but the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Again, we can only imagine. Here is an artist's impression of what perhaps the lake of fire might look like. As we think about that verse 15, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Indeed, everyone that will stand at the white throne judgment are those that will not have their name written in the Lamb's book of life. Every one of those will go into this eternal torment. Again, from an artist's impression, realizing that this torment is for eternity. It's for eternity. You speak to so many people, and they said, oh, once you go down there, that's it. Oh, if you say I'm going to hell, all my friends be there, we're going to party. I remember taking a number of funerals and well attended of dear saints, not burying them, planting them, because they're going to rise again. And people in the background laughing, jeering, because of what I said with regards to separation from the living God for eternity. But the word of God is fact. It's literal. God means what he says and says what he means. Amen? And so, yes, as we look forward to the millennial kingdom, first of all, the rapture, presently imminent. Could be tonight. But in the Lord's timing, indeed in God's timing. As I said earlier today, when God says to his son, go get your bride, then we'll be raptured. Then we'll stand before the judgment seat of Christ, which my brother is going to share tomorrow morning. And then, of course, we'll return after the marriage. Then we return to the millennium to enjoy the marriage supper of the Lamb and to rule and to reign with him for 1,000 years. But we need to have that burden upon our hearts of where the lost are going. Especially if they have not heard the gospel. Those that have heard the gospel are without excuse. But we need to be faithful. We need to be consistent. We are not to be the missing link. We might just give a track. The word never returns void. Very often the Lord brings somebody along to water that recipient. And sometimes it takes two, maybe three, maybe we don't know. It's in the Lord's hands, but we just simply need to be faithful. Amen? Because those individuals who reject the gospel will end up, as Brother Ringwell drew our attention to last night, to a devil's hell for eternity. May we be about the Lord's business. Amen? Consistently, faithfully, exhorting one another to do that. And it can be the simplest of things, just giving a track to the shop assistant, to where you buy petrol, to the person who comes to the door to deliver a package. It can be the simplest of things, but we need to be consistent. And we need to give it because we want to give it, because we want to see that person know the truth, because the truth will set them free. Amen? Let's just bow in a word of prayer. Dear Lord, our Heavenly Father, we just have done an overview tonight. Lord, there's so much detail that we could spend time in, because of the sake of time, Father, we trust, Lord, that this might encourage these dear folk, Lord, to again dig deeper into the Word, but also to realize, Father, that even that in that millennial dispensation, we realize, Lord, that there is responsibility, that there will be failure because there will be those that will be born that will have to make a decision for Christ that will not make that decision, will follow Satan at the end of that millennium, and Lord, will end up in a devil's hell. So Father, again we ask, Lord, that you would burden our hearts, burden my heart, Father, burden each one within this congregation, Lord, that we might be about your business, Lord, realizing, Lord, that we might be speaking to somebody, Lord, that perhaps tomorrow will be killed in a car smash, will have a heart attack, Lord, and will not be here any longer. Each day is a gift. Help us to realize that. And Father, help us to be faithful to that which you've called us to do. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.